Hello and welcome to Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
How are you doing today,
guys.
Riley?
I am so tired. Red Taylor's version came out last night at midnight. We're recording this on November 12th.
By the time the this other comes Taylor, out, it'll be... not me.
Right, right. Yeah. Not this terrible. Taylor's version.
No.
Taylor Swift's version.
Did you do a version?
Did you do a version?
I'm still working on mine.
Okay.
Get my rebuttal.
What are you going to call it, though? Because it can't be Taylor's
version. Well, it's still Taylor's version, but just spelled...
Just spelled the other yes, Taylor's version with an E.
Yes. I'll call it unread.
Blue.
There you go. It's not unread.
It came out last night at midnight. It has 30 songs on it. It's over 2 hours long. So, of course, I had to stay up and listen to the entire thing as soon as it came out so I could participate in the discourse, but also because I've been waiting for it for 5 months.
So you can participate in the discourse.
Yes.
Is there some intense discourse going on? I guess so, huh?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
There was a lot about it on Twitter, I will say, because I looked at Twitter this morning and I was like, wow. A lot of people seem to like Taylor Swift.
That was the first thing you said to me this morning when we sat down was, I realized you're not the only one who likes Taylor Swift that much.
The word I used was obsessed.
Okay, obsessed with Taylor Swift. There are people that are way worse than I am.
I'm just really happy that for as many years as she had to put up with people complaining about her writing songs about like exes and stuff, and now people just like wait for it like, oh, who are we trashing now? Like,
yes.
Give it to me.
It's so good, especially because this entire album just is almost all of it is about Jake Gyllenhaal. There are a few songs about a Kennedy, but they're not. Yes, she dated a Kennedy for a brief summer.
Which one?
Connor Kennedy.
What's his deal?
What do you mean?
Do we like him? Hate him?
I
is
think
he good?
It,
bad?
I think it was just fine.
Do we know?
I think he was just fine. Okay. The songs are like not bad. They're not like the songs about Jake Gyllenhaal.
I don't know what the Kennedys are up to these days, so I don't really know where all that I don't know where all that lands. I don't keep up with
Kennedys.
Them.
I'm glad, I guess. That's good.
So she also had two appearances on late night shows last night, one on Fallon and one on Seth Meyers. And she hinted at several other things that now people have been dissecting and analyzing all night long and all morning.
Oh my goodness.
Like, she mentioned that people say you should have made music videos for these songs. These songs should have been singles. Like, how intense her fans are is what she was talking about, basically. Ah. And she said, so I listen and I'm making the videos and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So then everyone heard that and was like, what does she mean? What videos? It's plural.
That feels pretty straightforward. It sounds like she's going to make some videos.
It sounds like she's going to make some music videos.
If we rearrange the letters in this sentence.
I don't think that's a puzzle.
She also, which even I thought was a little silly, her lucky number is 13. We've talked about this before. It always has been. So when she was on Jimmy Fallon, they played a game where you could pick numbered boxes to like play the game. The two she picked were 1 and then 3. It just, yeah, it was probably a nod to that. But everyone saw that and was like, the next two albums she's recording is her first one, its debut, and then it's Speak Now, her third one. That's what she's confirming. It's 1, then 3. It's like, no, I just think it was a nod to 13 because that's like her thing.
It really, when we did that alternate reality game in Huntington last weekend, it really made me know like what it's like to live in your Swiftie world.
Yeah,
like
Swifties
yeah,
are just constantly living in a long form ARG.
Yeah, it's just like looking around and going, "Is that just a stop sign or is it a clue? I don't know. Is that poster for like a job posting? Is that a real poster or is it a clue? I don't know. But that's like what it's like to live in the Taylor Swift fandom.
It's ridiculous because she even said it last night. The way it started was just she wanted people to read the lyrics for her songs when she would sell the CDs. So in her little lyric booklets that came with the CD, she would capitalize certain letters, and if you circled the capital letters, it gave you like a message for each song that gave a hint about like when she wrote it or who it was about or where she wrote it or whatever. That was how it started, was just very obviously if you look in the lyrical booklet, there are some letters that are capital that stand out and you circle those and it makes a thing. Now it has turned into just like I spy everywhere all the time in everything she does. It's like, how did we go from that very obvious, like, here's a cute little secret message to there are five holes in a fence and April 30th was going to be the day that she released, like, her secret third album, Woodvale. I don't know.
That's really on you all, though.
Yeah, no, I take responsibility. Partially, along with everyone else, obviously. But we'll talk about it the next time it's my turn. We'll talk about the whole album, but I need some time to process it. She also made a short film about the 10-minute long version of one of her songs that comes out today. Really excited about that.
I asked Cooper this morning after I looked at Twitter. I said, Cooper, why does everybody love Taylor Swift so much, do you think? Everybody's really obsessed with Taylor Swift. And she went, who's Taylor Swift?
Not Cooper. I have obviously failed. And also, if you still have to ask after all the episodes we've done about Taylor Swift, why does everyone love Taylor Swift so much?
You
don't listen to me?
Well, I mean,
I've talked about this so many times. She is the music industry. She's a musical genius.
I think... Yes, I understand. Her music is good. I think there are other...
Music is good. I will fight about this.
The frenzy around her, I don't quite understand. It's like Beatles mania, but it's Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but
I don't understand Beatle mania either.
Just in the past calendar year, she put out two full new albums and two pre-recorded albums with 10 new songs on each one, pretty much. Like, in one calendar year, she has put out four albums. In quarantine. She recorded them all, like, at her house.
I'm saying it's not incredibly impressive. It's...
You are such thin ice right now, Sid.
I know. I'm trying to be careful here.
To be careful. You said her music's good.
The one thing you don't want to do is upset a Taylor Swift fan.
Obviously. I got no sleep last night. All I did was stay up listening to her talk about how horrible Jake Gyllenhaal is.
Harley's about to walk off the podcast if you continue with this.
No. I respect her abilities and skill and talent, all those things.
I like that this is where you're at on Taylor Swift. You brought New Kids on the Block to the table today.
Your track record of New Kids on the Block and Grease 2 your big contributions to the podcast.
But what I'm saying is, like, I have a passing interest in what's going on with New Kids on the Block.
What?
But not the degree of devotion. How about that word? Devotion that I see among Taylor Swift fans to Taylor Swift.
If anyone had that degree of devotion to New Kids on the Block today in the year 2021, I don't know what I would... Like, I don't know how they're functioning today if that was what they're... That's their obsession.
You know what? There's somebody.
Is it you?
No, it's not me. But I guarantee there's somebody. I guarantee there is. It's not... There really isn't. There's somebody, you know, is. But anyway, I have no, of course. I think Charlie knew who Taylor Swift was.
Well, yes.
Right away.
Charlie also knows some of her least popular songs ever. So Charlie's in, like, the small minority of small Taylor Swift fans that, like, love her the best.
Well, she really likes...
You
need to calm down.
And me.
Oh, she loves
me. Which is considered, like, her worst single of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
She loves me. We listen to me in this house a lot. And then she also, I don't know if you remember her obsession with Look What You Made Me Do.
Oh, yeah. I love that song.
Except she couldn't watch. She always had to cover her ears during the part where she says,
the old Taylor can come to the phone right now. Why? Because she's dead.
Oh, is that scary?
She couldn't hear her say she's dead. It used to upset her to hear the word dead. And so she would cover her ears and hide when she
even though the music video starts with a zombie Taylor Swift crawling out of the grave.
She would cover her eyes during certain parts.
Okay.
But she liked the end when they were all standing in a line.
Yeah, that part's good.
Yeah.
Anyway. But we are talking about New Kids on the Block. I had to listen to it the whole first part of this week because I knew if I put it off until yesterday or today, I couldn't listen.
You were going to have to turn off Taylor Swift to listen to New Kids on the Block, and that wasn't going to happen.
That sounds illegal.
I was I've realized too, I was really on the young end of the New Kids on the Block fandom. Like, it that when I there was a picture I saw of me recently. Did you show me that picture? Did Mom?
Mom.
Yeah, Mom showed me this picture recently of me with one of my friends when I was Charlie's age, I believe, in this picture. So 7. And we are both wearing matching New Kids on the Block nightgowns. So, like, I really think the peak of my New Kids on the Block fandom was, like, 7 to 10. Which, I was thinking about this as I was listening to this music. Like, what was going on with me? what was happening?
I was trying to figure out that time frame because when I was listening to it, and I won't get into this, but like it's like, oh wow, this reminds me so much of like the Backstreet Boys, and how did Sydney have New Kids on the Block and I had the Backstreet Boys, and we're not that far apart in age, but these are two completely different like decade bands.
Oh yeah. And I mean, if you look at like, so New Kids on the Block was active from like 1984 is when they started. I was one.
You're one.
And 1994 was sort of like the end of that first wave. They came back later in 2008, but
they had an album put out in 2008.
Yeah. But I mean, I was not that old, but I was obsessed. Everybody was. It was my recollection. I mean, I had, so New Kids on the Block, I should start with, if you don't know who they are, which I can't imagine anybody hasn't at least had a passing, like heard the name.
I guarantee you, if there's anyone listening who is my age or slightly younger, there is a like 50% chance they have no idea.
Who New Kids on the Block are? Like that even that they existed.
If it weren't for you, I would have no idea that they even existed. It's not like a name.
That's so weird.
Like Backstreet Boys, really? NSYNC, you hear those. Don't hear
New Kids. But New Kids was before them.
Exactly.
Yes.
Or as they went on to be known as NKOTB.
I think that contributed to their downfall.
Kotb. Doesn't really roll off the tongue.
They weren't the first boy band, by the way. They weren't the first one. They were one of the early boy bands, no doubt. But they were not the first. I think that's important. Because the guy, I was actually reading a little bit more into who wrote their songs. Maurice Starr wrote a lot of their songs, and he had initially done New Edition. And that band predates New Kids on the Block. And then based on that success, he was like, I'm going to put together another boy band, New Kids on the Block.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to do other boy bands, but none were ever as successful as those two.
Basically when Simon Cowell put One Direction together.
Yes.
Same exact thing.
There's like this whole history of...
That's like a trend of putting
bands together of young men.
Yeah.
Were the Spice Girls put together? Or did they just find each other naturally because all of their names end in Spice?
No.
I thought they were all related. The family band.
They're all in the same family.
Yeah,
it's a family band. No,
the Spice Family.
I don't know. I guess what I'm getting at is, are there girl bands that were put together in the same way?
I mean, Little Mix was made around the same time as One Direction, and it was a group of 5 girls from X Factor, just like One Direction was a group of 4 guys from X Factor. 5 guys?
Oh my God,
how many people
that.
Were in One Direction? Have you heard of Camila Cabello?
Yes,
she was in. That's where she started in Little Mix, but she kind of did the same like Harry Styles. She Beyonce'd.
Yeah.
She left. Yeah.
But like Destiny's Child, I don't believe they were like put together, or TLC.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think these were groups like that just naturally, they organically arose as opposed to these boy bands that were sort of manufactured.
That's the only one I can think of that was put together.
New Kids on the Block, I was not alone. They were like a gigantic hit.
Mm-hmm.
They encouraged this sort of Swiftie fandom, Beatlemania sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did. Like, and I'm sure, Taylor, I don't know, because I felt like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC came too late. Like, I was too old for them, which is weird. This is very weird. Like, with the commentary we're making on the age, like the target age for these boy bands is very weird.
Yeah. Also, that there is like only 3 years between the two of you, and there is such a difference in.
Well, because I always felt like, I'm too old to be into Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Like, that's for the younger kids. Like, that was my perception. Not like I was too cool, but like too old.
I mean, the debut album for Backstreet Boys was 96. So that was not long after New Kids on the Block hung up their sneakers. I don't know.
I would have been like, but see, that's weird because I would have been 13.
Yeah.
That feels like a good time for Backstreet Boys.
I mean, because I remember, I think Backstreet Boys, my friends that were really into like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, like that was through late elementary school and middle school. By the time you got to high school, it wasn't cool anymore. It wasn't cool to like boy bands in high school, you know? People still did, but I think that the young target audience is, I don't know if that's unique to New Kids on the Block, but I think that was really a factor that influenced later boy bands. Like, which is hilarious if you think about the way the songs are written and like the lyrical perspective of most of the songs is like towards like, hey girl, like all of them. Like, you're singing to a 9-year old.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the thing is like whether or not they intended, I don't want to sit here and say like the whole plan was to target 9-year olds. I don't think that. No. I think the thought was young girls will go crazy for these cute boys singing.
Yeah.
I don't think that it was more insidious than that, certainly. But the lyrics to a lot of the songs are incredibly like chaste.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're not sexy.
Yeah.
They would evolve in a direction that was more mature eventually. But like a lot of the early songs are like, there's so much we can do. Like, we can go to the park. We can get some ice cream. We can hold hands. I mean, like, it's all very...
Well, that's probably why it appeals to younger kids, right? I mean, it's like you said. It was the same thing when One Direction was a thing. It wasn't cool to be a One Direction fan if you were in high school. But if you were, like, you know, in late elementary, middle school, that was the thing.
Yeah.
But they didn't sing about sexy stuff.
And it was, I mean...
I don't know what they sung about.
The same kind of thing.
Yeah. It was something they had to have been aware of because I don't remember, like, listening to this music, there were the hits I remembered, but I didn't, I was too young. But I do remember you having the New Kids on the Block Barbie dolls. And I mean, if you're making dolls that are sized with Barbies, you have to know who your audience is. You're not making that for like a 20-year-old girl to play with or collect.
Well, I mean, I guess that's true. You're not even really making it for teenagers because Barbies are definitely like, I mean, not that teenagers can't play with Barbies, but you're definitely aiming at a younger. I mean, that's true.
That's not the target demographic.
I did. So I think that was the other big thing about New Kids on the Block is that they had their music, which was very like, you have now listened to it, standard boy band-ish, 90s.
Yeah.
A little cheesy.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're 80s into the early 90s. It was the height of cheese.
It did have a little bit more of an 80s feel, I guess, than like Backstreet Boys or NSYNC. But still very much a boy band.
Where you could say things in a song unironically.
Yeah.
Like, come on, fellas.
Yeah.
Here we go. Like as if like that's just a thing that we do. Calling your bandmates fellas, by the way.
That's kind of adorable, actually.
It is kind of cute. Come on, fellas. Here we go. And then you do the laws. La, la, la. There is something cute about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the entirety of the song, Hanging Tough, with all of these, like, their voices have just turned, but not entirely. Like, what? You're hanging tough, are you?
Hanging Tough, I love because, what is it in parentheses? Hanging Tough was the one that in parentheses said something about bad boys. Oh, that one made me really happy.
That's
I funny. Also,
I like that. I love song names that have the parentheses on them. But that like, for example, I'll Be Loving You in parentheses forever. It just feels like a little bit of an aside, like in the title, they couldn't forever. Just name it. I'll Be Loving You Forever.
Boys,
I'll Be Loving You.
Boys in the Band is the boy band anthem.
Well,
I don't know if you noticed that.
That song must have come later because they name drop bands like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC in that song, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they did do that. The song that Well, first of all, with the hits, like Hangin' Tough, Step by Step, Please Don't Go Girl. Those were so huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, those were giant songs, which is weird that Hangin' Tough was, because I think they yelled the line, "We're rough."
Yeah.
Yep.
And no one has ever sounded less tough than they do singing the song Hangin' Tough.
Can I ask, just for context, like the average age of member in this band at the height of their fame?
The little one, the one that I was obsessed with.
Well, because you were also a little one.
Because I was a little one, was Joey McIntyre. Although,
yes,
my recollection is that he went by Joe McIntyre when mm-hmm. he was with, like, early in the band. And then he had a solo career. Mm-hmm. A lot of them would go on to have a solo career. And he was Joey McIntyre when mm-hmm. he had a solo career. So did one of the Knight brothers. Because there's Jordan and Jonathan Knight, who are brothers. Mm-hmm. And one of them also had a solo career. Mm-hmm. Or maybe both. And then, of course, you've heard of the Wahlbergs.
Right.
Right.
Donnie yes. was in this.
Yes.
Not Danny.
Now, was he the bad boy back then?
Yeah.
Did they have the roles of, like, there was, like, the yes. young one, the bad boy, mm-hmm. the romantic one?
Yes. So, Jordan and Jonathan were supposed to be the ones that you swooned over. And most of like, my friends, I remember, like, having a crush on one or the other. They were, like, the genius ones who, like, wrote the music, was the perception, made the music, played instruments.
The genius ones.
Well, I mean, like, that was the perception. Like, these are the two, like, they're so talented, and they're brothers, and they're so cute, and, like, they're behind the music. And then there was Donnie, who was the bad boy, because, like, he wore like, a denim, like,
oh God,
vest with, like, cut-off sleeves.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, and he's, like, making an angry face mm-hmm. in the picture they're all taking
yeah.
with a cap on, and yeah. the rest of them are kind of, like, you know, give him a little smirk.
Joey was the little baby. He was the sweet little baby face who's I believe, like, who could hit the high notes, like, especially early on, like, mm-hmm. super high notes. And then there was Danny Wood, and I never quite understood Danny's role other than, like, he lifted weights. That was the main thing. Danny, like, was always muscly mm-hmm. and in, like, the when they would, like, do things, like, appearances, he always looked like he just came from the gym. Mm-hmm. That was sort of, he was the sporty one. He was Sporty Spice.
He was Sporty Spice.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's got to be Sporty One.
Yeah. But I Joey was the one I was obsessed with, which would have made sense because he was the youngest member of the group. I need to know how young they all were. I'm going to give you some ages for some reference. But before we do that,
let's check the group message.
Let's do that. You know, when you're listening to music, you want to make sure that you're having a comfortable experience, right? You want something that fits in your ear well, that feels good, noise, isolating, lasts for a long time, that you can listen to for hours. And that's exactly what you're going to get with Raycon wireless earbuds. I can attest, a lot of the earbuds that I have used before will fall out of my ears, especially if I'm wearing them while I'm, like, working out or walking or, you know, doing anything kind of active. But you don't have to worry about that with Raycon wireless earbuds. The new everyday earbuds come with three new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best. So whether you need, like, more or less bass, they've got, like, pure mode for if you want to listen to maybe your favorite podcast by three siblings who talk about pop culture then and now. They've got balance mode for, like, rock or heavy metal. They've got bass mode. Whatever you need, you can set it on that and you get the best listening experience possible and something that's comfortable. And this holiday season, they would make a great gift. So think about that.
Yeah.
If you're not sure what to buy for somebody, this is always a great present for them. And then they can use it for music, work, play, calls, podcasts, whatever they're doing. So, Tay, if our listeners want to check out Raycon wireless earbuds, what should they do?
Well, they should go to buyraycon.com/buffering today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is available for a limited time only, and you don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/buffering to unlock up to 20% off your Raycons. Once again, buyraycon.com/buffering.
Okay, so Joseph Mulray McIntyre.
Full name.
Was born on December 31st, 1972.
Oh.
So I said 84 is when this band started.
Uh-huh.
So am I doing the math right that he was 12 when the band started?
As a child.
As a baby.
He was a little teeny baby when that started. That's sorry. Wild.
Sorry, Taylor. Taylor sent in our group message a picture of the New Kids on the Block. And it's non-binary people at brunch in their outfits.
Okay, one of the Knight Brothers is wearing just overalls with no shirt.
I've dated that person. No, but like the vest, the beret, and the oversized glasses. The sweater.
What is that hat called?
Combo. I mean, it's kind of a fedora. It's maybe like a pork pie.
Yeah, I think it's a pork pie.
I would wear that outfit right now, actually. Which one is that? Which one's the boy with the glasses?
That's Donnie. He doesn't look as much of a bad boy.
He does not.
This is what a bad boy looks like in the 90s.
I would wear that outfit.
Yeah, no, they're all great outfits. All of my friends would dress like this, but these would be queer hipsters in Brooklyn.
This is what a bad boy looks like in the 90s.
He looks like he's about to, like, set up his easel in the park.
And then he's gonna argue with you about leftist policy.
He has opinions about natural wines.
Who's my boy in the front with a vest and very ripped jeans, but it looks like white tights on under the rips and also loafers.
Oh,
that's one of the Knight Brothers. I always got Jordan and Jonathan confused. The Knight Brothers are the one wearing overalls with no shirt, and the one in the vest with the ripped jeans.
Yeah.
And then Danny is the one. He's just, I think that's like a tracksuit.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sporty Spice.
And then Donnie is the bad boy, which you can tell from the beret.
I'm going to have to post this picture somewhere so people understand.
Everything is cuffed, too. Hell, everything.
Yeah. Everything is cuffed.
If you can cuff it, they cuffed it.
So if you're a young queer person struggling with how to figure out your personal style, just look at pictures of the New Kids on the Block. Pick one and go with it.
Now they're going on tour next year. You know this, right? Like, do we just all go together and show up dressed as that picture?
Absolutely.
I am just, oh man, now that's Halloween next year, by the way. It is occurring to me that Joey McIntyre was about 10 years older than me, because he was born at the end of 72. Mm-hmm. So he's about 10 years my senior. So when I was like wild about NKOTB, when I was, what did we decide? Like mm-hmm. nine, mm-hmm. seven, eight, nine. He was 17, 18, 19 years old. And I thought he was like the baby. He was like the little one.
Well, comparatively, was he?
I mean, yeah, but
which always feels a little bit weird when usually it's a boy band that appeals to like the very young, like 9, 10 year olds. At least like with One Direction, they all were like 16 or 17. It's like, well, I guess that's a little bit better. But was this one like, you know, 18, 19 year old Joey McIntyre, and then
they were all like no. They were born in 68, 69, 71, 72. They're all around the same age.
Okay.
Yeah. So like he was the baby, but not by that much.
Okay.
But I mean, part of that is the that's the story, right? Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. they played that up, that he was the baby because he was supposed to be like the cute, innocent. He was
baby
the
spice.
One he was the one that it was okay for all the girls to have a crush on, right? Like mm-hmm. you can like Joey because he's a little boy and he's a gentleman and he's going to be so shy. He's not even going to hold your hand because that would be too much.
Yeah.
Like that's Joey. So don't worry. Don't worry, moms and dads. your children can have a crush on Joey McIntyre and it's fine. Now stay away from Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Look at that guy's beret. You know he means trouble.
I don't know. I think that that's, it's a dangerous trap. They all can hang tough, Sid.
That's true.
They are rough.
If we ain't going to give anybody any slack, and if you try to keep us down, we're going to come right back.
I like
Which
that.
Which is very
like
reminiscent.
Because it's like, it does. We're not going to hurt you.
We're going to come back.
We're just going to come back.
Which, you know what it reminds me of? The JoJo Siwa hit Boomerang.
Well,
do you think she took inspiration from the New Kids on the Block? Maybe. Just call them the Backstreet Boys.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think she did.
I think that the music was supposed to, I think it was way more about like a catchy pop hook than it was to be lyrically inspirational.
Sure.
And they did. I mean, like that song had that, which like you hear that and you know instantly like, oh, okay. I'm transported.
No, you're not telling me that Don't Worry About Nothing because it won't take long. We're going to put you in a trance with a funky song. Is it brilliant lyricism?
I never want to hear you use New Kids on the Block and Taylor Swift in the same sentence ever again.
We're going to put you in a trance with a funky song. Man, I thought this music was so cool when I was little. The big thing is, of course, they were, I don't want to say they're manufactured because they could sing. I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, they can sing, right?
Yeah.
And they can dance. Watch their old videos. Like, they can dance. They can sing. They can perform. I do believe some of them could actually play musical instruments and, like, probably could write their own songs. Like, I'm not saying they weren't talented, but the concept was very manufactured.
Sure.
And merchandised and packaged. And, like, it had very specific goals and demographics and all that. And so there was, I mean, like anything you could want with New Kids on the Block on it existed. I of course I had two different nightgowns in that picture. I'm wearing my blue one, but I also had this purple one that I liked even better.
It really ages their fans if they're, you know, making nightgowns.
Well, I mean, it was a nightgown that fit a 7-year-old. Yeah. So
they knew their target demographic. Yeah.
I had that lunchbox that Taylor, you have now.
Yes, I use it to carry cosplay plastic supplies. Yes,
yeah, that plastic orange lunchbox with just a picture of New Kids on the Block on the front.
I mean, also the fact that they made a lunchbox that had a matching thermos. Like, there's only a certain amount. That's an age that's going to use that.
I had, I believe I had a backpack too, but who knows what happened to that? I had the dolls, as you mentioned. Mm.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of, that box you had, but that was a 90210 box. My bad. Sorry.
I did have a 90210 little trunk box thing, storage box cube in my room. Don't worry. I paper macheed over it with like astrological symbols and zodiac signs at one point. Because if it's a 90s cliche, I've done it. unless we're getting into late 90s, early 2000s with the inflatable furniture, because then Taylor did it.
Man.
But the dolls, like you said, they were sized like Barbie dolls. They were perfect for Barbie dolls. And so between the New Kids on the Block and my 90210 dolls.
Oh, boy.
Of which I had full sets of both.
Ken did not stand a chance.
No.
Ken was out of there. Yeah. There was no Ken. Why did I need Ken? Not when I've got Jordan and Joey and Jonathan and Danny and Donnie. And a Luke Perry doll.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Come on. I had all... Huh?
Well, I say I inherited those dolls, and my friends and I played weird things with Barbies. So Luke Perry became Agent Mulder in our game. That's what we like to play, X-Files Barbie.
Well, I love that Luke Perry doll, man. Barbie's, that was always Barbie's favorite when I was playing, and then because like his 90210 character, but then also he was in the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie.
So he's not Barbie's favorite, he was your favorite.
He was a dreamy doll,
which meant Barbie's favorite. Yes,
he was, and he was a bad boy but with a soft side. Like, maybe he wore a beret sometimes. Lance. I don't know. But he looked like he might.
I was really struck listening to this music by how much of it you could put. There were so many of these songs that if I was listening to the Backstreet Boys and one of these songs came on, I would have been like, that's just more Backstreet Boys. Like, I was expecting it to have more 80s flavor to it, but so much of like the way that they produce the music sounds like the same.
Yes.
Interchangeable.
It's very, yes, it is. It's the same kind of thing. Like, as I was listening to it, I was trying to feel like what about this sets it apart, makes it different. And it just, I mean, what sets it apart and makes it different is that it predated the Backstreet Boys stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I guess you can give it credit for that. But yeah, it's all very similar. Like, that is the style. Cool. It's
and that formula.
Catchy, harmless. Yeah.
And like having like the young one, the romantic one, the bad boy, mm-hmm. the talent one. Like that's all like that. Those exact same roles were just what became the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
And then you watch That Thing You Do and you're like, oh.
No, oh. It was before them too.
Oh, I get it now. The other thing I had merchandise-wise, other than all these things we've mentioned, I had the comic book. There was a New Kids on the Block comic book that was released. Not with the Archies, which, like, Archie met so many people through the comic books. Like, there are so many Archie and the Punisher, Archie and Kiss. Like, there's so many weird Archie comics where they meet strange celebrities. Why New Kids on the Block and the Archies? And maybe they did, and if it's out there and somebody knows about it, please tell me, because I have never read it. But they also had standalone New Kids on the Block comic books, which like is a very, I feel like that's a very Beatles kind of progression for the band, right? Because it was really accessible to kids. I read them, and there was one that had, it was like Joey McIntyre is looking at you and talking to you. That was the entire story. And he takes you on a date. I don't know. Is there a name for that? Like, is it where like the character's talking to the audience directly?
I mean, if this was a piece of fan fiction, it would be called Joey McIntyre / Reader.
Well,
you read fan fiction.
That's what it was. That. And it,
yeah,
I mean, because like he's looking directly at you in every panel. And he's like,
it's a little unsettling.
Like, he shows up at your doorstep and brings you flowers. And then he takes you out for a burger and you sit with him and like eat a burger. I also remember the burger looked really good.
Sydney went on that date so many times.
For the burger.
For the burger.
I have been known to do that in my life.
Now I see why you like
Jughead. I love a good burger.
Wasn't Jughead burger sexual?
I'm a Jughead at heart. I always thought I was a Betty. But at the end of the date, he gives you a kiss. He asks permission. He asks consent. So right. I guess you could, if you say no, you don't have to read the last panel.
Put down the book. Yeah.
Down the book. Like his lips just real close?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Of his lips.
I was kidding.
Because what are they expecting?
You're going to kiss it.
You're going to kiss it.
Oh, my God.
Of course I kissed it.
Well, of course you did.
You don't know how many times I made out with this comic book page. Because it was Joey McIntyre taking me, Sydney Smurl, on a date.
That's fair. I remember ripping posters of like the Jonas Brothers out of magazines and putting them on my wall and kissing them. So yeah. It's fair.
Taylor's like, I did not do that. With the
I never made out with paper. I wouldn't kiss my comics. They have value.
Taylor was more responsible than that.
But yeah, that was my favorite piece of NKOTB merchandise was that comic book. It may still be, you know how mom and dad have all those boxes of our old books in the basement?
I'm sure it is still there.
Oh. It might be there.
Sydney, a New Kids all of on your the Archies Block are. Comic book that you have personally made out with it countless times would be so much money on eBay.
That would be a great. I'll raise money for a charity that way.
I think that's a great idea. You got to find it.
Oh, I will look for it because I mean I did love that Man, I was obsessed.
It's probably actually worth money now too. I bet you can't find them anywhere.
I thought about that with the lunchbox I have, but I don't know. Some irresponsible child colored all over it with crayon. That was probably me.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee it was you.
Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I'm not upset about it now.
That's good. You probably were back then.
As of this year, Sydney is not upset about it.
This is officially. Seems like there's other things to worry about now.
Yeah.
The one song as I was re-listening to all these songs, I sent one to you two specifically because I listened to it and then I found myself thinking, this is legit a good song. And it was the song Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I believe off their album Step by Step.
Yes.
This is what Sydney's, do you all think? Sydney's Bohemian Rhapsody here.
Yeah.
It has movements. Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree in the sense that I think it's closer to a genuinely good song than most of the other songs.
That's only in so the, mean!
Only in the sense that, like, I would willingly listen to it now and not turn it on, like, you know. I don't know, like,
it's a good song.
It's not the kind of music that now I would go to and choose to turn on. But that song is probably the one that would be one of the most likely that I would go to and turn on if I was turning on this kind of music.
I like a song that tells a story. I like that it had movements. Yeah. I mean, I joke about comparing it to Bohemian Rhapsody, but that is the first thing I was like, oh, I get it. It's like their journey of a song. That's cool. It's cool that they did that.
It is. Yeah.
I love musical theater. Musical theater tells stories in songs. It's basically like if they were to make, oh my God, a jukebox musical, New Kids on the Block.
Oh, Sydney.
I'm there.
With your skill at writing parodies, you could
there you go.
Combine two of your loves.
Yeah.
I'm there if they do it. I just thought like it was musically interesting. I enjoyed it. It felt mm-hmm. Beatles-ish to me.
Mm-hmm.
It had a Beatles-y feel.
Yeah.
That I enjoyed, which I read. I went and read more about it because I was like, this song feels so weird to me from a lot of their other songs. And they were trying to take it, the band, in a more mature direction with it. Like, this will grow them up. And they were inspired by Beatles music. Beatles and ska.
Interesting. Sure,
yeah. Were the two inspirations.
I love
for that,
that combo.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that was kind of what I thought. I was like, well, that, you know what? I don't hate any of that. I mean, obviously, I love the Beatles, and like, I can do some ska.
Some ska.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of ska in
That's
there.
That's one of those like dipping your French fry in like a chocolate frosty, and like, this isn't gonna work. Ah, maybe it works. It kind of works.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, and again, like with the era that I am from, you have to like ska a little.
Sure.
Like, it's in there a little.
Yeah, those No Doubt albums.
Exactly. Like, ska just kind of showed up, and, like, you didn't know how ska got to the party. They came with somebody, like, somebody brought them, and you were like, well, I guess. But then after you hang with them a little bit, you're like, you know, you're pretty chill.
There's actually, like, a really cool ska revival going on right now, and I say that completely not essentially. Like, I think it's awesome. Like, young kids, like, unironically embracing ska. Like, absolutely. Please, by all means, pick it up. Pick it up.
I have no problem with ska.
I would just like to say what I said about the song Tonight and also all of the New Kids. I keep wanting to call them Backstreet Boys. New Kids on the Block music came off meaner than I intended. I do enjoy this kind of music in the sense that I am often in a certain kind of mood where I'm in the car and I'm like, that kind of Backstreet Boys NSYNC, now New Kids on the Block music. Mm-hmm. I just want that right now. That would make me feel happy right now. And I think if I were in that mood, I am more likely to turn on that song than some of the other ones from this.
What was, band. Do you have an equivalent? Was it One Direction? Mm. I was about to say New Directions.
Well, that's the show.
It was New Directions.
It was
well,
New
I mean,
Directions.
It was.
Yeah. No, I mean, yes, I would say my generation One Direction was that equivalent or maybe 5 Seconds of Summer, but they still make music and have kind of transitioned away from that like more traditional boy band vibe, but I think it was One Direction. I just never got into One Direction.
Yeah, I don't remember ever hearing. I have never heard. I mean, like if I've heard a One Direction song, I didn't know I did.
Yeah, I was definitely in the right age group. I had friends that were very, very into them and like went to their concerts and collected their merch and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I never got into that vibe of music. I was listening to Taylor Swift the whole time.
Yeah.
that's been my whole music life. So.
Just Taylor Swift. There's one song, yeah. And I guess it's obviously one of their newer songs, but I think it was, I'd never heard it before, but it was my favorite that I came across. And that was 80s Baby.
Yeah.
So it's it's got a ton, and Snoop is on the Block, but it's featuring like Naughty by Nature and like Salt and Pepper and like Tiffany, like all of these other 80s icons. But my favorite thing is like the kind of chorus is like, you're a sophisticated lady, but you're an 80s baby. It's like that song. I picture so many like happy wine moms like hearing that and being like, yes, like I am now a sophisticated lady.
Yes.
But I loved you when I was like 12. That's
when I was an 80s so baby.
Yes.
I think that's exactly, but yeah, that's exactly the intended. I mean, they did a cruise. There was a cruise you could go on with New Kids on the Block a few years back. Yeah, before pre-pandemic, of course.
Yeah.
It was definitely something I discussed with people because I don't remember exactly when it was. So I don't know if it was work stuff or kid stuff. Why, like, I can't go on a New Kids cruise, but like, I definitely remember thinking I'd probably enjoy that. I probably like that pretty well.
Now, I just need to ask very quickly, because I will admit I didn't really listen to most of the album they put out in 2008, just because I knew that the music you would listen to is probably the stuff from their first few albums. Mm-hmm. So that was what I listened to. There is a song on this album from 2008 with Lady Gaga on it.
Yeah.
What? They did a song with Lady Gaga?
It like made the mainstream news when they launched their sort of revival. Well, it's been a decade, mm-hmm. but I remember like seeing that happen. Like, good for them.
Yeah.
There's also a song in this album called Sexify My Love. They said, we're done. We're not little boys anymore. It's 2008.
Yeah, they grew up. It was such a great time, right? 2008. Obama was president.
Lady Gaga was like making
doing songs
making
with
New
Kids on the Block. Like, this was just, it was a great moment to be alive.
Why not sexify your love?
Why not? All right. Well, thank you both. I won't make you talk about New Kids on the Block anymore, but
I thought this was
I did
fun.
Enjoy it. It puts me in a certain mindset where I'm like, I can't really be upset right now. This is just like, this is enjoyable.
There is a certain degree to which that kind of cheese is earnest in a way that I really identify with and long for in media. And so,
yeah,
it will always hold that little piece of my heart. All right. What's next?
Well,
you're up.
I'm going to stir the pot here, I think, a little bit, because I know that Riley's up after me, and I know you're going to do the re-release of Red. So
yes.
I thought I would pick one of my favorite films from my youth, teen years, whatever, that stars Jake Gyllenhaal. I thought we could talk about Donnie Darko.
I'm excited. Because I didn't know that there was such a problem with Jake Gyllenhaal.
He didn't come to her 21st birthday party.
I didn't know any of this stuff. I do love Donnie Darko, though.
I have never seen this movie, though. So I am just, you know, excited to watch the movie. I'll pretend it's just, you know, not Jake Gyllenhaal.
Your opinion's going to be so colored by everything you now know. Everything we all now know about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm. And I already knew so much, but somehow it just got worse with this new album. It all happened like 10 years ago. That is exciting.
I'm excited.
Yes.
We can all go back to the time when he was just sort of dreamy and mysterious.
Was he ever dreamy? I thought he was like weird and that was his whole appeal. When did he become dreamy?
I think
he was a little dreamy.
Made him dreamy.
Okay. I'm curious what the overlap here, because Donnie Darko was 2001, and the idea of like Donnie Darko era Jake Gyllenhaal breaking Taylor Swift's heart this hard is just so silly to me.
It was like a full 10 years later.
Okay, all right.
Because he was like, I mean, he was like 30 when they dated. So
he was in his dreamy era by then. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sid, for introducing me to
Katatumba. And check out, we'll get this photo up on Twitter or something so that you can,
I'll just make it our profile picture on the Still Buffering,
please, absolutely,
so you all know.
I'm just really
dressed for next Halloween.
I'm just really glad. No, not Halloween. This is just, I need some fashion inspiration, and here it is.
Yeah,
it is. It is all very relevant.
Yeah.
To today. thank you all. Thank you to Maximum Fun. You should go to MaximumFun.org and listen to all the great podcasts there. You can email us at stillbuffering@MaximumFun.org if you know about an Archie New Kids on the Block crossover comic book that I missed somehow. You can tweet at us at stillbuff. Thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Your Mind.
This has been your cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am Still Buffering.
And
I
am
too. All right, fellas. Here we go. La, 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 la,
la, la, tonight. Can we just change our intro to that?
Yeah. Or just, we're up.
We're up. I mean, tough enough.
Because we aren't.
Speak for yourself.
Look, it's a rough world out there, especially lately. I get it. So let's take care of our minds as best we can. I'm John Moe, host of Depression Mode with John Moe. Every week, I talk with comedians, actors, writers, musicians, doctors, therapists, and everyday folks about the obstacles that our world and our brains throw in front of us. Depression, anxiety, traumatic stress, all those mental health challenges that are way more common and more treatable than you might think.
The first time I went to therapy, I was so ashamed, and I was like, can't believe I gotta go into therapy. Like, I thought I could be a man, and Humphrey Bogart was never in therapy. And then my dad said, yeah, but he smoked a carton of cigarettes a day.
Give your mind a break, give yourself a break, and join me for Depression Mode with John Moe.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.